Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Hey everyone, welcome to the KP Podcast. I'm Pete, sitting here with Keith, and we are coming to you today from the Forum. And right before we went on the air, guys, Spider-Man just walked by the window. I just want to let everybody know. The Spider-Man just walked by the window.
He was standing a good 2'6", so I don't know if Spider-Man
So you're saying it wasn't the real Spider-Man?
I mean, you're telling me there's a chance, but no, that's not him.
Okay. Well, I got excited for a second, but you know what? I mean, I don't know if Spider-Man has anything to do with the real estate market, but it did get me going.
Because you saw something very misleading that could have been actually what happens. And today we're talking about a very interesting topic, which is the unknown of our inventory out there. The unknown, which we like to call shadow inventory.
The shadow inventory.
I like saying shadow a little quieter because it feels
like it's in the shadow.
Yeah, it's like it's a little mysterious. And it's like Halloween time. Like we're all over. Shadow inventory.
As my two-year-old said, it's spooky.
Yeah.
Daddy is spooky.
And I'll tell you what, the market is a little spooky right now. Like, it really is. We've been talking about it a lot. And so we talk about something like shadow inventory. And Pete, tell me, what is actually shadow inventory? What are we saying? Because we know what inventory is way higher than normal right now. But what is actually shadow inventory?
So shadow inventory, as kind of the word implies, like you're saying, it's a little mysterious. It's inventory that we're not necessarily aware of or no one is sure of. You don't know what the number is. You kind of have an idea that it's something that's out there, but you don't exactly know. It's in the shadows.
So that's confusing to me because I'm thinking shadow inventory. How do we not know what's available? Because like we know how many houses have been built permitted wise and tax records in Maricopa.
Yeah,
how many properties there are.
Yep.
That's an exact number. It changes regularly, but we know how many permits are being built or are being pulled, and we know exactly how many registered tax ID single-family houses are in Maricopa, correct?
Right. So
what does that mean by then?
Let's break some of this down before we get into exactly what we're looking on there, right? Okay. So everybody knows here in Maricopa County, Phoenix metro area, the inventory has increased tremendously.
What?
Right? We're up over... Yeah, it's up a couple. You seen a couple extra houses out there?
I mean, we were at, what, 4,000? Now we're at like 6, right? Like that's where it's at?
A little higher.
7?
So we're sitting over 20,000 as of this last weekend.
Wow.
You know, 20 and some change, right? So it's up fivefold.
Yeah.
Not quite. Four times. So it's up a lot. What we're looking at, though, is, we've got all this inventory that is increasing, but we've got a couple other dynamics coming in there. You know, the obvious one that's in everybody's face that we've talked about before is demand is getting absolutely crushed. Okay.
Yeah.
And you've got rising rates. Everybody's aware of them. The inflation, rising rates that's out there. We've got mortgages now, 30-year mortgage over 7%. And so we've got a situation where, yes, we've got this inventory, but, oddly enough, I guess I should say, new listings for this year are trending lower than last year. And so what we've got before we kind of get into the shadow inventory is we've got demand so low that even though fewer houses are coming to market overall than they did last year, we've had demand go up 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what everyone's aware of. This is the part that's out there. Now we get to today's topic. What about what we don't know about? And that's the shadow inventory. And what we're talking about here is something that we've touched on briefly before in this podcast, and that's the short-term rental market.
My favorite.
The Airbnbs, the VRBOs, the short-term rentals, right? That was pretty popular, I would say, over the last couple of years here with the pandemic, especially in our market. And there was a lot of people that picked those up, and they've been doing very well. But now that things are changing, the economy's slowing down, rates are up, you know, maybe there's a lot more competition. We're starting to hear some of these anecdotal stories that some of these folks that have these short-term rentals are putting them on the market. They're either going to long-term rentals or they're trying to sell them. And the point is, when we say shadow inventory, is Keith, how many short-term rentals do we have in Maricopa County?
187.
187. Did you just make that number up?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I think it's a very interesting thought because there's only a couple things in our market for the real estate side of things that if stuff shifts on a dime, that things can be moved quickly, mm-hmm. right? So we talk about vacant properties can be moved fairly quick or at least listed quickly. They might not actually sell, but they could be immediately put to market.
Yep.
Long-term tenants, they can, but there's a lot more moving parts. And if they're covering their debt, they're less likely to immediately shift onto market. And it's really hard to sell something with a tenant in it because an investor is not going to be buying it with a tenant in it if they're desperate to sell the house.
And frankly, look, we talked to a lot of these investors. They don't want to sell. They've got low rates. They're cash fine. Flowing.
They're going to let it
ride.
If
they sell, they've got capital gains or they've got to go buy something out, in a high rate environment. They have no reason to sell. So they're
the
vast majority are not looking to sell.
So they're out. Primary residents, they're not selling because then they have to go buy somewhere else. So in all reality, they don't want to increase their mortgage by $2,000 a month or whatever it is.
Gets back to that those locked in people.
Yeah,
that
they're
we're
locked in.
About.
So. There's really only two boxes that can just immediately go to inventory. And one of them we know, for the most part, we can track vacant properties because those are registered typically as vacant over a certain amount of time. Like there's a lot of good analytics out there to find the amount of vacant second properties that are out there. So really we're left with second homes and Airbnbs are really the only, shadowish, like we don't know. And on a dime, if every one of those properties came to market, let's say travel was shut down again or, people just stopped traveling because of the recession and where the market's at. That's more realistic of everybody's saving money. We're in a depression. No more travel because that's the first thing that goes is voluntary travel.
Yeah. Or like you just said, an economic slowdown where the owners of these go, I was making money.
I need
now
to make
I'm,
some money.
Now I'm not making money or I lost my job or you know what? Just get that thing off my books.
I need some
not,
extra cash.
I need cash. I'm not comfortable having it there. We used to book out 20 nights a month. Now I'm lucky if we're booking out 5 to 7 nights a month, just get rid of it. And so that's exactly it. That is one, like you said, there's no long-term tenants in there and it's not their primary. So those second homes and these short-term rentals are the biggest thing where we don't know, and frankly, it's been something that people have been trying to figure out for years. We don't know how many are out there.
So let's try and think through it because this is what we were talking a little bit off air, and we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we? Because it doesn't matter how smart you are. It really doesn't. Everybody has their own opinion of it. The only person that might know is if Airbnb, VRBO, and Booking.com all came together and said, hey, guys, what's our inventory look like?
Right.
And they're not selling that data. They don't want it out there. They're not sharing it.
And it would give you a good idea, but it still wouldn't give you the full picture because then you've got people that do it on their own. You've
and
got
second smaller, homes.
Yeah. Vacasas and second homes. And
so we have
like
so we have all this stuff. So we start to think about, okay, what is it? Is it 5%? Is it 1%? Is it irrelevant? Because that's the other thought. Could be irrelevant. Could be 1% of our market. It's going to barely move the needle if every single Airbnb goes up and so forth. But my hunch says it's way higher than that because a lot of the investors that we're doing long term, when fads come into play, I've seen more and more available out there. And why only make a couple hundred bucks a month on a property when you can make 2,000 extra a month for a while?
Yep.
That's really shiny toy. It really starts to look like something you want to do, and that could be a shift over the last 3 years.
And you got you've got investors there, some of them who were smart about it and said, okay, look, I can turn this into a long term rental and the numbers still work. But maybe people that bought over the last year and they bought it at higher prices,
thinking that they could short term it, make it work.
This will work as a short term. Well, maybe now the short term has really slowed and it doesn't work as a long term rental, and so they're selling.
They have to. They'll be underwater.
Right.
So if that's the case, then could it be as high as 10%?
That's a big number.
10% of typically around how many houses are in our market as a whole for single family? Do we have an idea exactly what it is?
We do. I don't have that number in front of me as far as how many single families we've got in Maricopa. But I mean, look at what the average sales or inventory that we've got. And let's assume that.
So we got 20,000 houses currently on the
20, market. 20,000. Yeah. So I mean, let's say we're selling, 150,000 homes a year. And so if you've got, like you said, 10%, that's another 15,000 of that number. That would be if everything came to market, right?
Yeah.
So,
and it might be even higher than that if the actual inventory was there. So let's say overnight, if 10,000 houses, let's use a little more of a safer number, right? What if 10,000 houses came to market within 60 days, more than what we have naturally selling?
That'd be a big deal.
That would take our inventory from 20K to 30K rolling, mm-hmm. which would shove us in a massive oversupply of what we have compared to what we've been. And it's not no longer a standard market or even a little buyer's market edge. Now we have an extreme buyer's market on that side, and it changes things.
And I would say an important difference with the folks that would have this is, think about the folks that we said that are locked in. And so one of the things we've looked at is cancellations this year, or the fact that it's fewer new listings coming than last year.
Yeah.
And if you think about why that is, it's because if that's your house, if that's your primary residence, well, you don't necessarily have to move. You might try the market, you might put it on and go, you know what? I'm just going to stay. It's not working, not getting the price. The other houses are too expensive. I'm just going to stay. Well, these folks don't have that choice. It's empty.
Yeah.
And if they're putting it on there, they're more of those. I wouldn't necessarily call them forced sellers. In some cases, they might be. But they sure are motivated because that's a house that's empty. And
yeah.
it's not their primary residence. So there's motivation to sell that house because it's costing them money at that point. And so that is absolutely where you could get those prices starting to come down and that increase in inventory that really starts hurting those prices.
Yeah, and if you had all those houses come to market, that also is kind of weird as well. And I'm going to give you another like side point that you might not think about. So let's say Airbnb does tank, right? Every one of those houses are furnished, Pete.
Yeah.
Something that people don't really think about, could it be possible that the expectation of a listing could change in a weird cycle of our market if 25% of the inventory on the marketplace is furnished?
I mean,
think about that.
It could. That would be a pretty big number of short-term rentals coming down. If 25% of our inventory was short-term rentals that are furnished. I mean, you're talking about a huge, huge.
Well, number. The one we just talked about is if there's 20,000 active right now and 10,000 active came up and we go to 30.
Again,
that
would be
33%.
That would be some pretty big numbers.
I'm not saying it happens, but what if that expectation shift? Like, we don't know what that type of a shift could happen.
We don't know. This is why it's shadow. Oof. But could it be a realistic thing that you could get, you know, say another 1,000 houses coming each month that are short-term rentals? I think that's definitely plausible.
It might happen here very soon.
It might be quite likely.
Yeah.
And so part of it's already happening. You know, we already know, like we talked about, that people are doing this. What we're saying is that might just be the tip of the iceberg right now. So you might just start seeing some of these people do it, and that might be growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's this going to do? Not only the sales, but I think the other thing is people that have owned these for a little while or maybe have those lower rates on them, you know, they're going to look to short or to long-term rentals first. And so what you might see, and I suspect part of what we are seeing is we see the rents that topped out and dropped slightly, even though they're not coming down, they're going to go back up. I think part of that is because you are getting more of these coming to that long-term rental market.
Yeah.
They're turning them to long-term rentals. And so you're going to have that a little bit of a bump in supply there for a little while, and they're going to have to work their way through that. As those prices stabilize there, because they're not all going to sell. I mean, you've got whatever that number is. Let's say you've got 50,000 homes in Maricopa that are short-term rentals, just to throw a number out. I mean, first of all, a good number of those are going to stay. So let's just say 30,000 say, I'm keeping it. I'm good. I'm making money. 10,000 of them say, we're going to go to long-term rentals, and 10,000 say, sell now. So you're going to have these, and that's what I say. Maybe it's 1,000 a month that are coming to market, but you're also going to have it on the rental side. You're also going to have all of a sudden a bunch of homes that are available for long-term rentals that wasn't there 6 months ago.
Yeah. No, I think it's very interesting, and if you have more and more inventory, it's going to discourage new listings more and more. So the people that are looking to do that shift, why would you go and fight in that marketplace if you're like, man, I don't want to be one of 30 listings. I'm going to have to list it way lower if I want to sell. So what's the point? Like, there's going to start to be this battle that people are going to see.
Yeah.
And it's going to discourage more and more, you know, just lateral movers in our marketplace.
Absolutely. I think one thing to keep in mind out there as we're talking about this is, you know, we talked about the thing that everybody knows. You see these high mortgage rates, right? They're up over 7%. Let's remember what high mortgage rates does to the supply. And it's just what you touched on, Keith. People don't think about this. They go, oh, mortgage rates are high, prices are going to come down. Mortgage rates are high, we're going to have all this oversupply because no one can buy. What it really also does is constrain supply. Because what you have is, not only are the owners that have these low mortgages that are locked into their houses, so they're not listing their house, but it also prevents builders from building.
They and can't remember, get those permits and those loans because they're expensive.
They're expensive. They're backing out. They're saying, look, our buyers can't do this. We're not willing to take the risk. High interest rate environments, and this is exactly what we're seeing right now, causes builders to pull back. Mm-hmm. And so the only way you really grow your supply is with new construction. Those are new houses. Existing homes are just sales. We didn't create new inventory with existing homes. They were already there. But with the new builds, that's what brings the additional supply, and they've stopped. And so that's the other part of this, like we've said, is those high rates constrain supply, constrain growth.
So let me paint a picture then, because last time I checked, our population in Phoenix is still growing.
Still growing.
Jobs are still here.
Absolutely.
People are still moving to the valley. Yep. So if new home sales and builders stop building houses like they did in what, 09, 10, 11, and even 12.
During that time,
they eventually started to pick back up, right? And we go through this weird market shift of no one's really buying or selling, and it becomes kind of a transactional issue. And over the course of the next, let's say it lasts 3 years. Let's just say it takes 3 years for our rates to come back where we need to drive demand back up, prices to be in an affordable place where people are motivated to buy again, right? If our population continues to increase, would that not shove us right back into a massive frenzy where builders are now, again, 3 years behind? They finally caught back up to where we needed to have them. They finally had the yearly permits back to where they needed to maintain population growth. So if they stop for 3 years, we're back in the same shit we were before.
This is exactly what some of the folks that have been in this for a long time are looking at. And even though we're bringing up this shadow inventory, will prices grind down again next year like we talked about? Most likely, of course they are. Is the inventory going to continue to grow? Yep. But it's this thing of, are you trying to time it over this next year? You might get some opportunities in there. But if we look 5 years out, if we look 10 years out, take all of the little nuances out, all of the little, did the rates go up? Did the prices go up or down? Who cares? Here's the things that we know are happening is exactly what you just said. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the population in the United States, and particularly we're talking about in our market because they're not moving everywhere, but the areas that it's growing, like the Phoenix Metro, we're going to have a lot more people here than we do now. And these people need to live somewhere. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have enough places for them now. Because things are too expensive, you have people that are going in with roommates, staying with family, going to places they don't really want to be. They're making sacrifices, but they're still there. It's like we talked about. It's like you can't sit the housing market out. You've got to live somewhere. And so when you take that longer term view, will we have bumps, blips, things come down? Absolutely. But the things we can't stop, the demographics, the population growth, and the supply of housing.
The true supply of houses, the actual properties available. Not the ones for sale. I think that's the thing. When
not
we say
our
supply,
MLS, right.
There's two different supplies here. There's the supply that's actually available for us to purchase right now. They're active on the market. And then there's the true housing actual supply, which is what's actually built out there. And I think you got to separate those two in the thought of, guys, there might be 20,000 active houses for sale right now. But what happens when everybody rushes back into the market when the rates drop and our demand goes to our supply goes to like 1,500 again? Like, what if we got that low and we actually break our just broken records of supply again because there's no houses being built again?
Because remember how one of the things we said at the beginning, demand, right? So go back to what we said. If we've actually got fewer new listings coming to the market, but inventory keeps going, what does that tell us? It tells us demand is absolutely destroyed right now. And so the same way we're now talking about shadow demand, we've talked about before, and I have a feeling in the next year or two, we'll be discussing this again. There is being built up so much shadow, demand on the side.
Yeah, shadow demand's
coming
through.
I lost my train of thought for a
second. People want to buy, they can't.
They want to buy and they can't. So the moment, like you said, when they can, there is going to be another rush because these people didn't go away. They still exist, and there's more people coming. And so, yes, yeah, that continues to build up under the surface. They can't afford it. They can't do it now, but at some point they will, and they're coming back out.
So what I think about is, okay, if that happens, and we're at 20,000 active listings, can that number be cut in half in 60 days?
Well, that'd be pretty crazy if it was cut in half in 60 days. If you're asking me if it could be cut in half over a period of time, absolutely.
I'm just saying,
that happens,
let's say rates go back. Let's say like the fire, like we've grinded down for a year and a half.
And here's why I would say no. Because in order for that to happen that quick, you're looking at a massive drop in rates quickly.
Yep.
And if you've got a massive drop in rates quickly, that means the economy's gone to crap. So yeah, well, you're going to have people,
because, you know, that could happen.
It could happen, but you're going to then have people that are losing jobs and not necessarily in a position to buy. And so, yeah, if we've had a massive, quick drop in rates, that means, like I always say, careful what you wish for, because that means something horrible happened.
Because I'm just looking at it as like, okay, you give it a year of grind down, because affordability is the big issue right now with demand, more than rates. Like, it's not that they don't want to pay the price for the houses, or even that they want to pay the price for the rate. The problem is their mortgage is what they don't want to pay. Like, right, at the in between, it's combining both of those. We just had a year of 30% appreciation and rates quadrupled basically on us, mm-hmm, in a weird way.
Yep.
So that together is what makes the impact. So if we have a slow grind for a year and a half, let's say, and prices slowly, let's say the prices drop 20% over a year and a half, which could happen,
mm-hmm,
but we just gained 30%. So really it just put us back a year.
Yeah.
In essence,
not even.
We'd still be profitable from a year ago if you really think about it in that way. But then rates shift, yep, on top of it. What that does is now we have an affordability positive atmosphere again. Now people, yeah, can afford the houses again. So it'll be interesting to see, guys. We wanted to chat today about shadow inventory for the mindset of what could be coming that we're not aware of, because everybody's talking about what can be seen. What can't be seen? We're coming into the Halloween season. You're going to be out there trick-or-treating. You don't want to see that spooky ghost come up and scare the crap out of you, right? Like, I want to see superheroes sitting on the doorstep in proper lighting. I don't want to get scared out of my pants here. So think about the shadow stuff in our marketplace. What are the things in our inventory and our market we just physically aren't paying attention to, or we can't see because there's no good data? Airbnb inventory, short-term rental inventory is one of those things.
Yep, absolutely, guys. So hopefully this brings something to light out of the shadows for you guys, give you guys a little more perspective on what we're looking out there. Like I said, don't just look at, like he said, everything you can see. You got to think about what other pieces are out there that we're not seeing right now.
All right, guys, we will see you guys in a couple weeks. Remember to follow us on the KP podcast and all our at the KP Elite channels. We look forward to our next message to you guys here soon.
See you guys.